A man that has as much influence with the public school young people in America as anybody I know, and my dear friend, a great preacher, a wonderful servant of God, Dr. Jeff Owens.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to read some scripture to you. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. I'll just read it to you. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 80, verse number 2, "Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us." Just a few words there I want to point out. It says, "Stir up thy strength." Another verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Two words in 2 Peter 3, 1 that I want to point out. The words, "stir up." I want you to see that God wants us to be stirred up. But I want you to know that God wants us to learn how to stir up ourselves. I'm to learn to stir myself up. My wife has a automatic bread maker at home. Now, to explain it to you, it's about the size of a television, all right? Little 20-inch television or so. How many of you have ever seen an automatic bread maker before? I see a fat boy back there. Looks like you've seen too many of them. She has an automatic bread maker at home, and this is what you do. You take the ingredients, and you put the ingredients in this automatic bread maker, then you program it. You know, a little bit like Nintendo, you know. You program the thing. And then, at a certain time, it'll kick on, and it'll make bread for you. You put the flour in there, and the salt, the water, the oil, the yeast, the egg. You program it. You walk away from it. 2 or 3 hours later, it kicks on. And what begins to happen is it begins kneading the bread for you, or stirring the bread. I like it. It's got a little sunroof in the top of it. You can look down in there while it's throwing that bread around, and it's actually stirring up the ingredients. It stirs itself. You know, I wish Christians would learn to stir themselves. We need to learn to stir ourselves up. Years and years ago, before they used a battery to turn over the engine of a car, they would use a crank. Some of you have seen it before. It's a big black crank, and they kind of poke it in the front where the engine of the car is, and then they turn it like this. And they would turn that car over and crank that engine until it would fire up. A little bit like a wind-up toy. You have a wind-up toy and you crank the back of it. Or a music box, if you will. Or a clock. The pull string on a mower is the same way. The pull string on a chainsaw will be the same thing. You crank it and get it started. You've seen the old-fashioned gliders that they make out of real, real light wood, have a propeller on the front and then a rubber band that runs all the way to the back end of that thing. And then you twist that propeller and it winds that rubber band up. And what you're doing is you're cranking the propeller. You let it go and it takes off and it flies high. God wants you to learn to crank up yourself. You have a propeller. You need to twist that rubber band down inside yourself, and you need to learn to get yourself going. He wants you to crank yourself. Hey, and if you can't get cranked up at our youth conference, you got a broken crank. We're cranking people around here. You know, many people, many places try to get you cranked up for Jesus. Your Sunday school teacher stands and teaches you in Sunday school. What are they doing? They're trying to crank you up for Jesus. Your pastor preaches on Sunday morning. While he's preaching on Sunday morning, he is cranking you up for Jesus. Some of you have bus captains, and your bus captain would crank you up for Jesus. You have a youth director, and what's he do when you meet with young fundamentalists or in a youth meeting? He's cranking you up for Jesus. Your pastor has a Sunday evening service. What's he doing? He's cranking you up for Jesus. Your parents, during the week, they try to crank you up to do right. Your pastor on Wednesday night, he comes to crank you up. But I got to ask you a question. Who cranks up your pastor? Hey, who cranks up your youth director? Who cranks up your Sunday school teacher? Who cranks up your parents? They have learned to crank themselves. You know, most of you are good kids. You're great kids when you're at church, when you're at the Christian school, when you're around the pastor, when you're around the youth director. But it's when you're away from those people that get you cranked up spiritually, that's when you get into trouble. So what you've got to learn to do is when you're away from somebody that will crank you up, you've got to learn to crank yourself. That's how you'll survive in the Christian life. You need to learn to crank yourself. I have a crank on the inside. You can't see it. So I brought with me a crank that I'm going to show you that's on the outside. It's like this. I got a crank. This is my crank. I'm a little bit like the Energizer Bunny. You just turn me on and cut me loose and I can get cranked up and I can go and go and go and go and go. You know, I have a crank. I've got a crank on the inside of me, and every one of you have the very same crank on the inside. Say, Brother Owens, I could never get excited like you. Somebody's lying to you. Anybody could get as excited as they want about the things of God. They just got to want to get cranked up. That's all. Last year, I had a very, very difficult year. I had a difficult year with my health, and it was just an uphill battle for me during the year. September rolled around, and I teach at Hiles Anderson College. I have that privilege, and I love it. But boy, I've had a rough year. I found myself depressed a couple of times, and I thought, you know, when I go to teach at Hiles Anderson College, I've got to make sure that those people are not getting cheated because I'm not cranked up. I took an old envelope while I was in my office at the college right before the school year started. And on that envelope, I wrote these words: get fired up or die. Get fired up or die. I taped that to the back of my door. The very first day I went to classes, I looked at that sign and it said, get fired up or die. And I got fired up. I was in my office. I got my crank out. I said, I got to get fired up. I got to get fired up. I got to get fired up. And I went to teach my class. In between classes, I went back to my office and I seen that sign. I said, I got another class to teach. What am I going to do? I either get fired up or I'm going to die. So in my office, I started cranking. I decided I had to do it. Every day, all year long, between every class, I went in that office, I saw that sign, and it said to me, get cranked up. And you need to learn to get yourself cranked up. You know, the great men in the Bible knew how to get themselves cranked up. Listen to this verse. It's in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what that says? It says David encouraged himself. You know what David did? David got himself cranked up. David was a self-cranker. David knew how to get cranked up. And if David needed to get cranked up, so do you. My wife's automatic bread maker stirs itself. It makes bread when nobody else is around. Hey, can you make something happen for Jesus when there's nobody around to crank you up? What are you like when you're away from those spiritual people that crank you up? Is my wife's bread maker a better Christian than you? You ought to learn to crank yourself up. The great men in the Bible did. David did. The bread maker did. There's a story in the Bible about Elijah. He came to a battle where he was going to have a showdown with 450 false prophets of Baal. They were both going to put a sacrifice on an altar, and then they were going to pray to their God that their false God would send fire from the sky, and then Elijah would do the same. They were up to bat first. They began to pray that their God would send a sacrifice and, or I'm sorry, send a fire and consume the sacrifice. But nothing happened. Elijah, I'm sure, to some degree, was a little bit of a smart aleck. And he asked me, he said, what's wrong? Is your God on vacation? Maybe he can't hear you. But nothing happened. Elijah said, it's my turn. Step back. They stepped back and he put his sacrifice on the altar and he said, let's spice this thing up a bit. He said, give me a barrel of water. They poured some water on it. And then another barrel, and another barrel, and another barrel. 12 barrels of water. They soaked that thing down. Now he's getting ready to call fire from the sky. One of those false prophets said, hey, that's not going to work. It's got water all over it. You can't do that. He said, I'm not the one that's going to do it. I'm not going to be the one that brings the fire. He began to pray. Elijah was outnumbered. His altar and sacrifice was all wet. And on the inside, he started getting cranked. He started getting cranked up. He started praying. And all of a sudden, the clouds rolled back. And out of heaven came fire. It consumed the sacrifice, the altar, and all the water. Why? Elijah got cranked. He got cranked. He had to crank himself. At that time, it was a king by the name of Ahab. Ahab had a wife by the name of Jezebel. I call her Jezzy. Well, right after Elijah had brought fire from the sky, he killed those 450 false prophets. Oh, Ahab panicked. He had to run home and tell Jezzy. He was going home to tell Mama. He had to go tell her what happened. And so Ahab jumped in his chariot. He took off as fast as he could toward Jezreel. And Elijah said, you know, I'd like to be there when he gets there. He looked around and there was no chariot. He thought, how in the world can I get there? And he thought, well, I guess I could run. How in the world was he going to run and be there when Ahab gets there, when Ahab is in a chariot with horses? And Elijah said, well, let's try the crank. And he started cranking himself. He got cranked up and he took off running. And you know what happened? He beat the chariot into town. And when Ahab rode into town, Elijah was there leaning on the wall. He had a toothpick in his mouth. He said, hi, boy. How you doing? You know something? The people in the Bible got themselves cranked up. You need to learn to crank yourself. Paul cranked himself. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he had been beaten and he had been thrown in jail. It was midnight. He was down. It had been rough for him. And you know what Paul did? Paul decided at midnight that it was time to start getting himself cranked up. At midnight, in jail, you know what he started doing? He started singing. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. The other prisoner said, hey, what are you doing? Shut up. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to shut up. I'm getting cranked up for Jesus in here. It doesn't matter where I am, I can get cranked up. Oh, there were great people in the Bible that cranked themselves up. Jesus cranked himself up. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. It's about the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know you seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Oh, wow. What a story. Let me tell you the story here. Jesus had been crucified, sent to Calvary, and he died. And the devil said, got him. Woo, I got him. I'm a son of man, the son of God. He's dead and he's in the grave. And the devil said, boys, it's time to party. He was throwing a party for all the imps of hell. As he was down there partying on the first day, all night, they party. Woo! We got him, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's dead and in the grave. They partied all day, day one. They partied all day, day two. You know, something happened. You know, the next morning, all of a sudden, the Bible says there was an earthquake. You say, Brother Owens, what was that earthquake? That was Jesus getting cranked up in the grave. He was getting cranked up because he was coming up out of there, and up from the grave he arose. Oh, yeah, Jesus cranked himself. Jesus cranked himself. There were many great men in the Bible that cranked themselves. You know what? People learned to crank themselves up even when they were hot and a little bit tired and a little bit, hey, you say, Brother Owens, it's been a long day. I got news for you. Doesn't matter how long the day is for me, I can still get cranked up when it's time to get cranked up for Jesus. Let me ask you a question. You crank up at all? After all this good preaching and all this good singing, hey, you got any crank inside you? Oh, what a privilege to be saved. Let me tell you something. Not only did great men in the Bible learn to crank themselves, but secondly, if you can crank yourself, God will use you to crank up others. If you will crank yourself, God can use you to crank up others. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew boys. They were in captivity. The king that had them there, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said this to those boys. He said, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to throw you into a burning, fiery furnace. I want you to listen to what the boys said. In Daniel 3, 17 and 18 it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, that's the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I've looked at this story, and I really believe this. I said, if you can crank yourself, you can then help crank others up. I believe out of these three boys, there had to be a spokesman. I think Shadrach stepped up to that old king, and he said, listen here, buddy. I'd rather burn than bow, and you don't have to throw me in that furnace. I'll walk in that furnace. I'm going for it. Hey, you know what happened to the other two guys? They said, I'm going with him. I'm going with Shadrach. Yeah, woohoo! I'm going with Shadrach. He got himself all cranked up. They threw those three boys into that burning, fiery furnace, and the king went over there. He looked in and he said, whoa, what's happening in there? It looks like there's four of them in there. And the king said, who's in there? They said, it's Jesus. He's cranked up too. You see, if you can crank yourself, you can crank somebody else. There's a story in the Bible about David's desire for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. The well was surrounded by a garrison of the Philistines. They were the enemy. And David said to his men, he said, you know, I would love to have a drink of that water from that well. But it's surrounded by a garrison of the Philistines. And the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 23, verse 15 and 16, the three of David's mighty men were standing by. They heard David say, I'm thirsty for a drink from that well. And the Bible says that the three men went down there, they fought the garrison of the Philistines, they brought David back a drink of water. And what a story. But I believe there's a part of the story that you need to know. I believe that there was a spokesman of the three mighty men. Somebody stepped out first. I don't know what the guy's name was, but I can tell you this. David said, boy, I'm thirsty. Boy, would I like to have a drink of water from that well. And David began to walk away, and one of those fellas pulled out his sword. He started strutting around, and he's getting himself all pumped up. And one of the other guys said, where are you going? He said, I'm going down there, and I'm going to knock the holy stuffing out of some Philistines, and I'm going to get the man of God a drink of water. And the other two guys said, hey, we'll go with you. David got himself cranked up. Those mighty men got themselves cranked up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got cranked up. And if you can crank yourself, you could crank somebody else. You know, are you always looking for somebody to crank you up? Somebody needs you to crank them up. Let me explain something to you. Serving God is caught more than it's taught. You catch it. You catch the spirit of the thing. You say, yeah, I want to get involved. I want to do something for God. I want to be involved. I want to do it too. Hey, is anybody catching the right spirit from you? Or you're too busy getting cranked up about Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire's home run hitting contest? Hey, why not get cranked up about Jesus? You're too busy being cranked up about the new Star Wars episode. Hey, you ought to get cranked up about Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. Oh, you're cranked up about NSYNC and Celine Dion. And you ought to be cranked up about Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus. You're cranked up about the fact that the San Antonio Spurs won the NBA playoffs. And I'm cranked up about the fact that I've got the KJV playoffs going on right here. You need to get yourself cranked up. And the great men of the Bible got themselves cranked up. And if you can get yourself cranked up, you can get others cranked up as well. Yeah. Thirdly, let me say, the Holy Spirit is always cranked. He's always cranked up. He's always ready to go. He's always ready to do something for God. But you got to cut him loose. You see, some of you, the Holy Spirit would like to make you excited and get you involved, but you're holding back. You're not as interested in that as what you ought to be. Now listen, the day that you got saved, you received the very same Holy Spirit that I did, and He sealed down deep inside me, just like He sealed down deep inside of you. Listen to these verses about the New Testament church in Jerusalem. It says in Acts 2, verse 2 and 3, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." You know what happened? The Holy Spirit got them all cranked up. They wanted to be cranked up. They surrendered to the Spirit of God, and He got them cranked up. It was to the point people said, "These people are acting like fools." Hey, listen, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is like a fire, and some of you need to get fired up for God. But you know what one of your problems is? You're sitting by somebody that's a fire extinguisher. Don't let that happen to you. Hey, cut the Holy Spirit loose in your life. Hey, you got Him shackled. Take the shackles off of Him. Let Him do something in your life. Hey, get excited about the things of God. You know, there's some of you boys out there, you've not said amen for one of these sermons that have been preached. Why don't you open your mouth for God? What are you afraid of? Hey, if you're sitting by a girl right now and the reason you won't get into the service is because of her, you need to sit somewhere else tomorrow. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. He said, "Well, Brother Owens, I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed." Don't you let fear keep you from standing up and being counted for God. And if you won't embarrass your flesh, the Holy Spirit will never dominate in your life, and you have got to let Him loose. Go ahead and enjoy it. Go ahead and enjoy the preaching. Go ahead and enjoy what's going on around here. In Acts, they got cranked up and they turned the city of Jerusalem upside down. Hey, if we were at a ball game, some of you get cranked up, wouldn't you? If we were watching a professional baseball game, there'd be some of you, you'd be standing up, you'd be yelling and screaming and waving a handkerchief and everything else. I've got news for you. Jesus is more exciting than any ball game. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I get to preach. I'm glad I've got a Bible. I'm glad I get the chance to get cranked up for Jesus. There are some of you right now, if you were at a rock and roll concert, you'd be swaying in the aisles. You'd be out there dressed crazy, acting crazy, looking crazy. Hey, don't you look at me strange. I'm a full-fledged Jesus freak, and I'm excited about it. You say, "Boy, you're crazy. You're wild." I'm going to get wild for Jesus. And that's what some of you over here need to do. You haven't stood up one time and waved your Bible. We a bunch of liberals over there. You get with it. Get in the service with the rest of us. I want to get fired up about the things of God. I want to get cranked up. Can you get cranked for Jesus? You know what, folks? This is the last sermon. You don't have to save any energy. Woo! I'm cranked up for Jesus. I said the great men of the Bible got cranked up. I say to you that if you can get cranked up, you can crank somebody else up. The Holy Spirit, He's cranked all the time. Some of you feel like you've seen a ghost, don't you? I'm not a ghost, I'm a freak. Just so you know, I'm a Jesus freak. I'm a maniac for the Lord. You know something, folks? Getting cranked up isn't just for the healers, feelers, and squealers. It's for us Baptists, too. Some of you that criticize the charismatics because they're so wild, you're as dead as a doornail. You know it? You say, "Brother Owens, how in the world do we crank ourselves? How do we do it?" I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you how you crank yourself up. When somebody else is trying to crank you up, let them. Let them. Don't fight it. Let them. It's not so bad. If somebody's trying to get you excited about Jesus, go ahead and get excited about Jesus. Hey, if somebody's trying to get you excited about the preaching, go ahead. Let them get you excited. Hey, if somebody tries to get you a little excited about salvation and the Bible and the church, you let them crank you up. You will never be able to crank yourself if you don't let others crank you. And then you're never going to crank anybody else up. Hey, I want to get cranked up for Jesus. You know, all I want is for God to use me to get somebody else excited about the things of God. That's all I want. Hey, I'm so sick and tired of hearing teenagers say this. I'm bored. Bored? You're what? You're bored. You're saved. That's different. You're not bored. You're a born again, independent, fundamental Baptist. I'm not bored. I hear this all the time. It makes me want to throw up. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. Well, I've got news for you. I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm getting cranked up for God. I'm getting cranked up for Jesus Christ. That's it. Hey, just let it loose a little bit. I am going to stand for God and stay cranked up. Oh, so I say, you want to know how to crank yourself? When somebody's trying to crank you, let loose and let them crank you. But secondly, you got to know what motivates you. You got to know what will crank you up. And for all of us, it's maybe something a little bit different. For instance, everybody here, you need to find a sermon that cranks you. You get a sermon that cranks you on tape, and anytime you need crank, you just stick that sermon in the tape player, and you let that thing just go to work on you. Let it start cranking you. I love to hear Brother Heil's message called Fresh Oil. Boy, I get started way down on my toes, and I hear that sermon, and I get started like this. You don't want to be where I am when I listen to that sermon. Woo! I get cranked up like a top. You need a sermon like that to motivate you. Brother Hiles preaches a sermon called "Who Slew All of These." I can't tell you what that makes that one wants me make me want to do. Wow, who slew all of these? He preaches a message called "Truth Crushed to Earth Shall Rise Again." Get a sermon that motivates you. Brother Scott preaches a sermon called "Polished Staff." For some of you, say, Brother Owens, that helps me. I've had people, I can't believe this, but I've had people that have come to me and I have a sermon I preach called "I'm a Young Fundamentalist." And I have people say, boy, Brother Owens, I hear you preach that and I get excited. I don't know what sermon it is, preached by who, probably your own preacher, but you get it, and every time you need it, you stick that in your tape player like a vitamin and get cranked up. You got to find out what motivates you. I get cranked up over sermons. Hey, I get cranked up over songs. Maybe you hear this song, "It's Still the Blood," and you say, whoa, woo, I like that one. Hey, if you need it, use it and let it crank you up. Maybe it's a verse. I love this verse. Isaiah 61:1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And I want you to know, I claim that verse is my verse, and I want the Spirit of God on me, and I want to preach the gospel, and I want to get cranked up for God. I can look at that verse and read it, and I get cranked up. You got to know what motivates you. Hey, maybe it's a story. You ever heard a story that motivates you? If you ever hear a story that causes you to be closer to God, remember it. Write it down. Read it. Let it motivate you. I heard this story. I've heard it many times. I've preached it many times. The story is about two armies that were going to battle. You've heard the story. Each army had a man that would carry a flag. The flag would have been called a standard. The man carrying the standard would be out in front. He would lead the way into battle. There were bullets being shot from both armies. One of the captains said, "We're going to charge. Standard bearer, get out there in front." The standard bearer was out in front, and they started moving forward. The standard bearer, he had no weapon. He just had that standard, that flag. And he kept marching. He was marching right into bullets. Before long, he was so excited about the challenge ahead of him, he picked up his pace. And he picked up his pace. And before long, he was way out in front of all of his soldiers. And the captain yelled to him. He said, "Standard bearer, bring the standard back to the men." And the kid looked back and he said, "No, captain, bring the men up to the standard." I'm telling you, I hear that story and I'm ready to go to war. Come on, smutty face. Let's go around, devil. You got to know what motivates you. Maybe it's a cause. When I begin to picture people burning in hell, it motivates me. It starts getting me cranked up. Maybe it's an occurrence, some happening in your life. Before I had the privilege of coming here, I went to a church in central Indiana, way down the state. I was very close to a pastor by the name of Johnny Crawford. One day he preached in our church and I seen him rush to his office. After he rushed to his office, it had been a little bit of a dry morning, you might say. Nobody went to the altar, matter of fact. After he went to his office, I was so close to him, I would just walk into his office. I wasn't very smart. I very inappropriately walked in. And I'll never forget what I saw. That grown man was laying face down on his floor. His arms extended out in front of him and his legs behind him. And this is what he was doing. He was crying like a baby, saying, "Oh, God, please do something in my church. Oh, God, please use me. I want you in my life, God." Oh, I could not believe it. I felt as if I had walked into God's office while God was talking with someone personally. I stepped back very, very carefully and closed the door gently. And I went to the other end of the building. I said, "If it's good enough for my preacher, it's good enough for me." And I said, "Oh God, use me too. Use me. I want to be used as much as the preacher wants to be used." And I'm telling you, young people, anytime I need motivation, I go back to that office in my mind. I open up that door. I did it earlier today. And I see my preacher laying flat on his face, begging God. And in my office earlier, I said, "That's what I want, God. Use me, please. Whatever it takes, use me. Get me fired up." Is there an occurrence in your life that God could use to crank you up? The Word of God will crank you up. All you got to get in there and start reading. Read Psalm 19. That'll trip your ever-loving trigger. Psalm 19. Woo! The Word of God. Do you understand what I have right here? I have God's very Word. The King James Bible. Do you have one? Let me see it. Get it up there in the air. Let's see it. You have the Word of God in your hand. The Word of God in your hand. Woo! Look at it. Love it. Hey, don't you ever be ashamed of that book. Everywhere you go, lift it up. Hey, that's a royal book written by a perfect God. Let the Word of God motivate you. Hey, I'll tell you something else that motivates you. Soul winning. Soul winning will get you cranked up. Hey, if I'm ever down, you know all I got to do? I got to go out and win somebody to Jesus Christ, and I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Woo! You talk about something that'll crank you up. You know, a couple of you, if you don't breathe soon, you're going to die. Okay, you're going to have to breathe. Cranked people are thinking people. That's all there is to it. You know, some of you just need to remember what God did for you. He pulled you straight out of a destiny of hell and put you on your way to heaven. That's enough to get excited. Hey, you know something? There's something that will hinder you from getting cranked up. You know, there are people that will try to stop you from cranking. I promise you. You know what happens? If anybody ever reaches up and tries to grab my crank, I say, "Get away from me. You're not going to touch my crank. Don't you mess with me. I'm going to get cranked up if I want to, and you're not going to stop me. You want to make fun of me? Make fun of me. Nah, 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 nah. Hey, you don't like me and want to talk bad about me? Nah, 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 nah. You can't stop me. I can crank myself. I don't need you. I can do it without you." Yeah, yeah. Some of you need to cut loose and get cranked up. Don't let anybody stop you. When you go spending your time with people that don't want to be cranked, they're going to get your crank out of your hand someday and you may never get it back. Some of you preachers have been running with some people messing with your crank. You just let them know. You stay away from me. Hey, I'll go where Brother Hiles is. He'll crank me up. Some of you girls have a boyfriend. You have a boyfriend and he doesn't have a crank. He's a deadbeat. He's a deadbeat. Dump him and get cranked up for Jesus. Some of you fellas, you got a woman, she's got pretty hair, but she ain't got no crank. She's dead. She's not going to make a good mother for your children or a good wife for you. Hey, you need to get cranked up and find a good boyfriend and a good girlfriend, and you can find them at Hiles Anderson College. Hey, do you criticize people that are cranked up? You say, Brother Owens, I don't think everybody's sincere. You don't know something? I'd rather have somebody that's cranked up, that's insincere, than be a dead duck like you. Don't be afraid to lose yourself a little bit. You know something else that'll keep you from getting cranked? Heartache. Heartache. A couple years ago, I was in a hotel getting ready to preach. My phone rang. When it rang, one of my friends, a fellow that I never would have dreamed, never, betrayed me, turned on me, and became my enemy. I loved him like a brother. The preacher was coming in just a few minutes. I was devastated. Brother Hiles, I went to the restroom and I threw up for 5 minutes. And the preacher was expecting me to come and preach. I got up. I walked out of the bathroom. And the devil said, I got you. I said, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I got myself cranked up. And I went and preached anyway. And the altar was full. And I looked at the old devil during the invitation when the altar was full. And I said, I got Jesus. I don't need you. One last story and I'm finished. I've heard the story of a Catholic man. He was lost and on his way to hell. An independent fundamental Baptist preacher stopped by his house and went into Christ. The priest found out about it. Went by and visited the Catholic man. You seen a King James Bible sitting on the coffee table there? And the priest got real fidgety. He's not used to being around the Word of God. Not even used to being around men. The priest said, what do you got there? And the fellow said, that's a word of God. And the priest said, let me tell you something about the book. The book is compared to milk. And if you're going to drink milk, I'm to serve you. You see, I'm the milkman, the priest said. You're not to serve yourself. You come to me, I teach you the word of God. And this brand new Baptist convert said, preacher, I hate to tell you this, but I decided to launch out and get me my own cow. And you want to know something? I got my own crank, and you can't take it away from me. I got me a crank. You say, Brother Owens, I don't have a crank like yours. Well, let me give you one. Fellas, let's give him a crank. Come on, move quickly. I'm going to give you a crank. You're going to need this someday. Let me tell you what you do with it. You use it to get cranked up. Hey, this isn't just a toy to me. Some of you need to pull this out when you get home and get cranked up to take a stand against those bad friends. Hey, some of you preachers, take your crank home with you. You can get cranked up all by yourself. Guys, don't throw them. Don't throw them. Don't throw them. That's a bad idea. Pass them out. Oh, you need to get cranked up. Keep it with you. Get cranked up. Hey, every youth department needs a spark plug. That's a cranker. Every Sunday school needs a spark plug. You need to be a cranker. Your church needs a cranker. Your bus route needs a cranker. If your friends won't get cranked up, you get cranked up without them. Oh, crank it, everybody. Crank it. Crank it. Crank it. Crank it. Crank it for Jesus. Crank it for the Bible.
Bible. Hey, don't you ever give up. You just keep on going. Keep on preaching the book. If you don't have a crank, stand up for me. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. Let's go, fellas. Move, 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 move. Let's go. You got to hurry. Get him the crank. You got to make it go quick, fellas. Make it go. Keep the crank going. You can do it. You can do it. You can keep on going. And don't let anybody stop you, especially in the hotel room tonight. Keep passing them out, fellas. You got to hurry, fellas. You got to hurry. Once you get your crank, I want you to sit down. If you've got your crank, sit down. I don't want to miss anybody. Keep moving, fellas. Keep moving. Hey, could you get cranked up about the Bible? Could you get cranked up about Jesus? Could you get cranked up about the things of God? Let's get cranked up.